Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hi, this is Linda Thompson, your host for The Author Show. Author Anthea Piskaryk's young adult novel, Unearthing Christmas, offers a glimpse into a world before technology became the driving force in everyday existence. As simple as this may sound, Unearthing Christmas is anything but. Anthea joins us today to share her story of Peggy and Laurie and how they met and the result of that meeting. Anthea, welcome to The Author Show.
Thank you, Linda. It's a pleasure being with you.
Anthea, will you give us a quick overview of Unearthing Christmas?
Yes. I tell people, it's actually written in a little synopsis, that the idea came to me in a dream. I had a dream of poinsettia garland draped across clear dirt on the ground, just clear dirt. And I thought, there's something under that garland. And that's when I created this story. There was something under that garland. And it was actually after doing a little research about a family in Texas that lived in a bomb shelter in 1955. To prove to the world and to the government that you could survive a nuclear attack. And I said to myself, that's what's under that poinsettia, is a bomb shelter completely decorated and preserved for Christmas. And beyond that, we have the character Laurie in 1955, who convinces her father to allow her to recreate Christmas in his bomb shelter because her mother buys an aluminum Christmas tree and destroys Christmas for her because it's just so unnatural and she's so upset. And that's how the whole story starts, is this bomb shelter decorated for Christmas in 1955.
How delightful. You said something that really piques my interest. You said your book is set in Texas, yet I believe you're a native of Delaware. Have you ever lived in the Houston area?
I have not, actually. My only experience of Texas has been an airport. But when I had that dream, I wrote it down. I actually wrote down in just a couple of sentences what that visual was. And then when I discovered this family called the Christmas family, that was their last name, they lived in Texas in 1955, I thought, that's where this story needs to take place, in Texas. So there was something about that clear dirt and just the barrenness of it. It just reminded me of, wow, this is something that's not Delaware. It's going to be something that I have no real experience of as a person. It's going to be fiction, and it's going to be something completely different from Anthea. So it was a journey to learn about these characters and to create this world.
Well, while you were writing your novel, were you picturing any type or age group of reader?
Well, yes. It's interesting because of the fact that it's 1955. There's a lot of readers who were born, and there were children in 1955 that are interested in it, but I knew the character would be 14 years old for some reason, because I have this affinity for a 14-year-old because they're that teen time where they're not fully into the teen years, but enough out of childhood, so they're just experiencing life in a whole different way. And then I had the other character 60 years later, Peggy, who discovers this preserved bomb shelter, completely preserved for Christmas, and I have these dueling protagonists, one in 1955 and another 60 years later, and they're both 14 years old, because it's that coming of age, that time period of rediscovering and just kind of rebelling but not knowing why. So I knew those were the characters that would bring this story to life at that age.
You also write screenplays and have worked as a news reporter. How would you describe your style of writing as a novelist?
I am so glad you asked that. So as a screenwriter, my writing became very sparse. As a matter of fact, I started Unearthing Christmas as a screenplay because the visual of that bomb shelter completely decorated for Christmas just seemed to me like a great movie set. And then I realized I need to get more into descriptive writing and need to turn this into a novel, because with screenwriting, one page of script is 1 minute of screen time and it becomes so sparse. And I thought, no, I need to get into this descriptive writing. Plus, I'm a grant writer, and that's a very limited type of writing. You're basically down to five verbs, you know, offer, support, serve. So I thought, I need to get back into this world and create this world first. And that's when I decided to write the novel. And then you have the creative control, because with screenwriting, it's very collaborative. Once you write that script, it becomes someone else's property and all of that. But I needed to create this one piece of art and then see what happened with it. And I am so thrilled that I made that change and decided to write the novel instead.
Is Unearthing Christmas a part of a series, or will it become so?
It is now a part of a series. The novel has a story of itself. The first publisher went bankrupt, and I thought, oh my, now what do? I had this novel, and I need to get it republished. The very first publisher I sent it to republished it and asked me if I had any other stories in mind that are connected to this novel. And I already did, because these characters were not done with me. They still had some more story to tell. And I'd come up with four more novels based on centrally located, you know, within Texas and some of the other areas that are also part of this novel, and their stories. And there were these other characters that needed to be developed. So I came up with these ideas, and I even had titles for them. So my new publisher signed me up with a contract for this to be republished and four more novels under the Miriam Chronicles. I am now finishing book two this year, which will be published next in 2019. And the other three novels of the five novel series, I have bits and pieces of it written as they come to me. I get an inspiration and a spark, like a character will talk to me, and I have to write it down, because I've learned if I don't write it down, I might lose it and not get capture what that character had to say to me at that point. So these characters live with me all the time, Linda, until their stories are finished.
Will Peggy and or Lori appear in other books in your series?
Yes. Peggy is definitely a part of the next story. Her story continues in book two. And also Lori, the 1955 character, is the main person in the second novel, because her story is a little mysterious in the first novel, and we get to learn more about Lori in the second novel, because she said to me as the writer, I need you to tell my story, and that's what I'm doing now. She is the focus of my second novel.
Do your characters resemble people you know, or are they pure imagination?
Oh, I love that question. They are pure imagination. If they are anything like someone I know, I am not aware of it, because they have their own lives, and they take me on their journey. When I get into a scene and start telling what's happening in that scene, they have the control, and I'm just writing it. So they really are not anything like anyone I know.
I'm curious to why you chose an old bomb shelter as a centerpiece for your book.
Interesting. I questioned it at first, because I thought, is there really a bomb shelter under that garland? And this is when I was just coming up to deciding how this story would be told based on the dream, and I went to a party. This was around the same time period, like within a couple of weeks. And the host of the parties looked at me and said, we just moved in here and there's a bomb shelter. Would you like to see it? And I thought, wow, affirmation. So there I am at this party down in this bomb shelter. And I thought, yeah, this is where my story takes place. It was that affirmation of knowing that's where I was going with this story.
There are always deep emotions surrounding the Christmas holiday. What is it about Christmas that you felt made a good focal point for Unearthing Christmas?
I think it's the memories that we associate. The one thing, Lori, why she's so incensed with her mother of buying this tinsel, this aluminum Christmas tree, is she doesn't get a chance to attach all those ornaments that have memories attached to them. And I think that's what we invoke. No Christmas is left without the richness of the past, and we bring it with us into the current Christmas. That's why we listen to all of these Christmas songs. They just invoke all of those memories. And that's what I wanted this story to be about, is someone who wanted those memories to stay intact. And it comes at a price for her. And that's a surprise element of the story, which I will not divulge. But sometimes when we make those choices, any choices, it comes at a price, and Lori has to deal with that in the story.
Did you include a special message in Unearthing Christmas for readers to remember?
Well, I like to believe there's a special message, and it's about choices that we make and about forgiveness. There are questions at the end of the book, Q&A for book clubs or anyone who wants to sit and discuss the story, but there is a message about forgiveness and not waiting to do that. We might harbor hurt and feelings that we believe that someone has hurt our feelings, And we shouldn't wait to allow that forgiveness to be that bridge. And that can happen within a family. It can happen with friends. There's a large part of the story which revolves around that, not waiting to forgive.
And Thea, will you please read for us a short excerpt from Unearthing Christmas?
I would love to, Linda. Thank you for that opportunity. We start in 1955. Miriam Hopkins fitted the last silvery branch into the aluminum pole. Admiring her work, she stood back and twirled a small pearly button on her cream-colored blouse. Lorraine, her 14-year-old daughter, gazed with disbelief at the tinsel-like branches. Christmas without sweet-smelling pine needles was nothing short of betrayal. She closed her eyes and gave her best whimper. It's not even green. I hate it. You'll get used to it, replied Miriam with a click of her camel-colored pumps. Now let's decide on a good spot. How about the closet? Lori watched her mother with mild contempt and slight amusement. She had secreted away a few stray buttons, orphaned from shirts, coats, and a skirt or two. Someday, she told herself, she'd confess her wickedness and hand over the collection jar. Okay, then I'll decide. With quick steps, Miriam made her way through the spacious modern ranch house into a sleek teakwood dining area. Right here, Miriam beamed. Lori conceded defeat. Well, don't expect me to decorate it. Her mother softened. I already bought the ornaments. Miriam adjusted a metallic branch. They're all the same color, green. I think it will be a lovely accent. Lori heaved a sigh, bordering on despair. Call me for dinner, she hollered while heading toward her bedroom. Christmas would never be the same without the beautiful woodsy scents and wondrous lights and handmade ornaments attaching memories to each prickly needle branch. And what about pine cones and the soft drizzle of tinsel, dripping sparkle? Instead, she'd have an entire tree of tinsel, just one big tinsel town. Rolling over, she picked up Raggedy Ann, tossed her up to the ceiling, and caught her in an absent-minded embrace.
Oh my gosh, I'm hooked already. So tell us, where can we learn more about you, about your other works, and where can we purchase Unearthing Christmas?
Thank you, Linda. I have a website. It's named after my LLC. It's stmartinproductions.com. Tells you a little bit about myself, and it gives a click on it where to contact me at Gmail. And Unearthing Christmas is available through Canterbury House Publishing Limited, which is my publisher in Sarasota, and on any online bookstores. It's available just about anywhere you can find it online.
Anthea, it has been a delight to talk with you today. Thank you for taking time to share Unearthing Christmas with us. The holiday season is always a good time for the lessons learned in your book, and I hope when you publish the next in your Miriam Chronicles series that you'll come back and chat with us again.
I would love to, Linda. Thank you, and you've been a delight as well. It's been great spending time with you.
Here's a review for Unearthing Christmas that's a great incentive to start reading. Young adult fiction? I'm not young and I was glued. Great story that I didn't want to put down. I had to find out the answer to the mystery. The characters are well drawn and the dialogue is entertaining, especially the banter among siblings. This book will make you laugh and it will make you ponder the depths of the human heart. Highly recommended. What a perfect way to close our show, and I thank you for listening. Please visit theauthorshow.com to listen to other featured authors. These interviews are available to book buyers worldwide, on demand, every day, 24/7. And for those who like audiobooks, please check out our audiobook store at theaudiobookmarket.com. If you have written a book and would like to be a guest on the show, visit theauthorshow.com, complete the interview request form, and we will contact you shortly thereafter. The Author Show is a great way to market your book by getting in front of your target audience with a high-quality interview that will make a real impact. Please visit us again as we continue to bring you great books and interesting authors on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.